So I was planning to just start the evening with the glorification of Lord Jagannath, and I have chosen a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita to bring us to the Rathayatra festival and to allow us to dive deep into the relationship between Lord Gauranga and between Lord Jagannath. So we have the verse on the blackboard. We'll have a little joyful chanting before starting the reading. E mata gora shame donete latelin.
E mata gora shame donete latelin.
Svarate shamere rake gora mahabalin.
Svarate shamere rake gora mahabalin.
E mata gora shame donete latelin.
E mata gora shame donete latelin.
Svarate shamere rake gora mahabalin.
Svarate shamere.
Translation. Thus there was a sort of competition between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath in seeing who would lead. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so strong that he made Lord Jagannath wait in his cart. Purport. After giving up the company of the gopis in Vrindavan, Sri Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, engaged in his pastimes at Dwarka. When Krishna went to Kurukshetra with his brother and sister and order from Dwarka, he again met the inhabitant of Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Bhav Dyuti Sarvalita, that is, Krishna himself, assuming the part of Srimati Radharani in order to understand Krishna. Lord Jagannath Dev is Krishna, and Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Srimati Radharani. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's leading Lord Jagannath toward Gunticha corresponds to Srimati Radharani leading Krishna toward Vrindavan. Sri Kshetra Jagannath Puri was taken as the kingdom of Dwarka, the place where Krishna enjoys supreme opulence. However, he was being led by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Vrindavan, the simple village where all the inhabitants are filled with ecstatic love for Krishna. Sri Kshetra is a place of Aishwarya Lila, just as Vrindavan is the place of Madhurya Lila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's following at the realm of the Ratha indicate that Lord Jagannath Krishna was forgetting the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Although Krishna neglected the inhabitants of Vrindavan, he could not forget them. Thus, in his opulent Rathayatra, he was returning to Vrindavan in the role In the role of Srimati Radharani, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was examining whether the Lord still remembered the inhabitant of Vrindavan. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell behind the Rathayatra cart, Jagannath Dev, Krishna himself, understood the mind of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, Jagannath sometimes fell behind the dancing. Jagannath sometimes fell behind the dancing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to indicate that Srimati Radharani that he had not forgotten. Thus Lord Jagannath would wait on the Ratha for their forward march. In this way Lord Jagannath agreed that without the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani he could not feel satisfied. While Jagannath was thus waiting, Gaurasunda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, immediately came forward to Krishna. At such a time, Lord Jagannath would proceed ahead very slowly. Those competitive exchanges were all part of the love affair between Krishna and Srimati Radharani. In that competition between Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy for Jagannath and Jagannath's ecstasy for Srimati Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emerged successful. I hope it was not too long. you could follow. That's actually a very, very special verse. That explains actually the relationship between Lord Jagannath and between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And later I will make the connection between Lord Jagannath and between actually all the jivas, all the living entities. So Lord Chaitanya was dancing in front of the chariot of Jagannath, and he had this deep call. He was loudly calling Krishna to appear and dancing. And Raghunath Das Goswami explained that he was sometimes putting one hand on his waist like this and another hand in the air. He was dancing like this. It was calling Lord Jagannath, please, please come with me to Vrindavan. This is the real place. This is the place where you are real, really happy. The side of the road in Jagannath Puri was full of white sand, and this was reminding Lord Jagannath of the sand that was in the banks of the Yamuna. So he was already reminded of Vrindavan. And then when he was seeing the gardens on the side of the road, he was remembering the Nikunj of Vrindavan, and he was remembering his dealings with with his friends and with the gopis in Vrindavan. So he was becoming more and more attracted, more and more in ecstasy to be brought to Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya, dancing in that way, was looking at the eyes of Jagannath, and his glance was totally merged into the white part of the eyes of Lord Jagannath. But at a certain time, Lord Chaitanya felt, is Jagannath remembering us? Is Jagannath remembering the habitants of Vrindavan or not? Let me try, let me challenge him, let me see if he still remembers us, if he still remembers the Brijvasi. And at that time, Lord Chaitanya went in the back of the chariot so that he was not visible. And Lord Jagannath could not continue his parade. He wanted to show reciprocation to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to show him, I care for you, I am here for you. Jai Jagannath. So it's a very beautiful divine exchange of love between Lord Jagannath and between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is in that position of servant, who is in the position of all of us who are also servant of Lord Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada will often mention this Ratha Yatra, this chariot festival. It's a feeling festival, and actually all the process of spiritual life is a process when one learns to awake feelings toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you try to enter feelings into the folio, you will see that a lot of time this word is connected to the practice of Krishna consciousness. That means it's not a wooden affair, a wooden chariot with a wooden deity on the chariot. No, it's nothing to do with that. It's full of feelings, of loving feelings. And what are those feelings? What type of feelings are there? It's basically a feeling of separation. It's basically a call, a deep call. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jagannath is there, but he's calling, we want you to be in Vrindavan. We want you to be in that place where we can have the most beautiful loving exchange with you. So this is the jewel of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. This calling the Lord, this calling for the meeting, this calling for meeting the Lord in Vrindavan Dham. There is a little lila that happened that also underlined this call, the call of the devotee for Krishna and how Krishna reciprocates. We heard on that first example how Jagannath was reciprocating to the call of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during the kirtan in front of the Ratha Yatra cart. But another example is when Krishna came to Kurukshetra. He invited everyone to come. He told Narada Muni, you just go and tell everyone to come in Kurukshetra, but don't tell the Brijvasis. Don't tell the Brijvasis to come. He knew the art of cultivating those feelings of separation. So Narada Muni came to Vrindavan and said to the Brijbasi, everyone is invited, but not you. And that was very, very amazing for the Brijbasi. It was like putting a match into a lake of fuel. It was like a big fire growing in the heart of the Brijbasis. And the Brijbasis felt, no matter, we are the family members of Krishna, we don't need invitation. We will just go to Kurukshetra and meet our Krishna. So they came in Kurukshetra, and Krishna was in the dress of a king. He was there with all the opulence of Dvarka, all the inhabitants of Dvarka, and they were doing a big yagya. So the gopis came from one door, one entrance gate to this festival, and they said to the guards, let us in, we want to see Krishna, our friend Krishna. And the guards said, no village girl in that area. This is just for the kings and the priests, and you cannot enter. The gopas arrived from another door and said, let us in, we want to see our Krishna, we did not see him for so long, we cannot wait, let us in. But the guards were really very strict and they said, no, you don't go. And from another door, Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda Devi, the parents of Krishna, came and they asked for permission to enter. And the guards said, no way. And Yasoda said, I am the mother of Krishna. And the guards started to laugh. They said, huh? The mother of Krishna? Devaki is the mother of Krishna. Everyone knows that. And this just broke down the heart of Yasoda. And she just screamed, Kanai! And at that time, Krishna was engaged in the yagya. And when he heard, Kanai, this deep call of love from the heart of Mother Yasoda just took him out of the yagya. Krishna dropped the spoon whiskey, just stood up and just ran toward the entrance of the yagya place. And it is said that as he was walking toward his mother, his size was reducing, and he just came and just jumped on her lap like she used to have this relationship with Krishna. So this is another very beautiful example of the call, this deep call of the devotees for the Lord to appear. And this is the sum and substance of spiritual life, this great eagerness for meeting, this great eagerness for connection, this great eagerness to be able to serve the Lord. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brings us, and Lord Jagannath is showing us how he desires to reciprocate to such a call. And in that example, in the Ratha Yatra, Jagannath just cannot continue to advance without seeing Mahaprabhu. He wants to have Mahaprabhu coming again front of the cart so that he can advance. So this is really something that for us sadhakas, practicing devotees on the spiritual journey, we really need to learn the art of awakening this mood of separation, of awakening this longing, this call, this deep call for connection with the Lord, for being again united with the Lord. So that was one of the points I wanted to mention today. And I would like also to speak a little bit. We will not have a long class because we will have a big cake after, and many of you have given some gifts to Lord Jagannath. I would like to speak a little bit on the personal relationship with the Lord. The Lord is here on the altar, but how much do we see him as a person? How much are we able to connect with him as a living entity, as a person? And I think that's a very relevant to explore a little bit this aspect, because many times we may be here in the temple room, we may be looking at the Lord, but we are blinded. We are not able to see the Lord on the altar. We see just a standing statue, but we don't see a living person. So there is a very big need to enter a relationship with Lord Jagannath. And relationship means something dynamic, means something where there is an exchange that goes. That's the root of relationship. That's a little bit the difference between some spiritualists who are seeing the deity just as a means to progress and to obtain liberation. This is authorized Vaishnava Sampradaya, who see the deity just as a means to achieve liberation. But in our Sampradaya, we don't want to see just the deity as a means. We want to see the deity as he is, as the personality of Godhead directly. So for us Bhakta, it means we really need to learn this art of seeing the deity as a person. Srila Prabhupada also was mentioning the importance for everyone who is living out of the temple to have deities in their home and to have a simple worship. In one letter he was saying, just worship with incense, flour, and just offer the deities whatever you are cooking for. No need of elaborate. But then he was saying, to have a deity at home and to put the deities in the center of our life, this will transfer our attraction for mundane topics or mundane life. This will turn the center of attraction toward Krishna. So it's this deity worship, although it's not the main items of our spiritual practice, is actually very important. For many years I was worshipping some small Radha Krishna deity, the deities of Srila Satchinandana Swami, as we were traveling. And often when I was doing the puja in the morning, Maharaj was telling me, see them as a person. See them as a person. If you see them as a person, they will enter in your heart. They will manifest. And Srila Prabhupada was saying, if you see the deity as brass, they will remain brass forever. But if you see them as a person, they will speak to you. So it's very important when we come to the temple, when we approach our home altar, that we tune ourselves, that we just reflect and center ourselves to realize, here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in person. I should approach him really in a good way. I should interact with him like he is a person. Like, did you see this beautiful cake on the altar? That's a proof. The pujaris said, this is Jagannath, this is our Lord, he's a person, he has his birthday, so we make a cake. Everyone likes a cake for birthday, so Jagannath needs a cake also. So this is the way to see the Lord as a person. And when we go into that path of seeing the Lord as a person, then he manifests to us. I remember the first time I came to the temple, I was staying here for 1 week, and I got quite a lot of purification. And on the last day I was here, I was dancing in the kirtan, we were singing and dancing like we did just before, and suddenly the deities were looking at me. and that was Gonitai. They were looking at me so strongly that I had to stop dancing, to put myself aside and also to look at them and understand, but what did I do something wrong? It was totally obvious. They are persons. They were just manifesting to me for just a few fraction of seconds to show me, I'm here. I am here for you. I am here for you to exchange service, to exchange love. And those, I'm sure many of us devotees got sometimes this revelation of the Lord in his deity form, showing, I'm here for you. Don't think I'm just brass, or I'm just wood, or I'm just standing here as a means for you to think or to attain liberation. No, I'm a person. I want food. I want worship. I want to accept service from you. So at the end, I would like to mention a few points on how to develop more this relationship with the Lord, how to worship the Lord, even if you are not pujari, even if you are not totally pure in our clothes and don't know how to do a big ashram, or how do we worship the Lord even in such conditions? Wow, garlands are coming. The Lord is hearing also in the other side, and he said, "Oh, they are speaking about me so nicely. Let me also show I want to give some mercy to the devotees." So the different points, I got it many times. Please give some to some of our guests. Give to some of our guests. Bharati, Mataji, you are our very precious guest. So different ways to develop this feeling of relationship with the deities when we are not pujari. I just need to be careful to get the attention of everyone after this garland distribution. Some more is coming. Maybe if there is a child somewhere, we can give it to the children. So, may I have your attention again? Yeah? Everyone is with me again?
Yes.
Okay. So, there are four very good ways in which we will be able to develop our relationship with Jagannath, with Lord Krishna, as a person. The first one is the way we offer obeisances. I think everyone is offering some type of obeisances when we come to the temple. But how much do we connect our heart into the action of offering obeisances? This evening I was here chanting in the temple room, and one person came to the temple and offered his obeisances, and he was staying for a good while down in that position, and he was really praying. He was really, nobody was seeing him. It was not anything of making a show, but he was really genuinely in connection, genuinely seeing the Lord and praying to the Lord. So that's one way to offer obeisances, with the heart, with full heart. The second is to sing and dance for the deities. And even if nobody is there, just the deities, it's not an idea of making a show, because today we have a big kirtan, so then we go into the kirtan. It should be done for the pleasure of the deities. Like sometimes we make some big event of kirtan, some nam yagya or things like this, and many devotees come, I want to sing, because they want to show how good they sing to all the assembly of people. But nobody come to sing just for the deities. And that's really what is the goal of our chanting and our singing, to give pleasure to the deity. The third point, which is a very, very beautiful point, is open your mind to the deities. Speak to them. Tell them your story of life. Tell them how you would like to be connected to them, how you would like to be engaged in service. Maybe not only asking, but becoming available for the deities. Here I am. Please engage me as you like. Please engage me as you want. I was speaking with Urmila Mataji some days ago, and she told me that there is one, she's very, very, very sharp, very spiritually advanced, and she can give counsel to many, many people in our movement. And she was telling me there was a person who was all the time asking from her, asking, and demanding. And after some time she said, I don't want to keep relationship with this person. She wrote her, please send me maximum one email a day. not 10, just one a day. And the person just could not understand, and she was keeping on that she had to block her email, she had to do all the thing. And then she said, I understood in my own relationship with Krishna, I should also not be too demanding, but more learn to be available, more learn to come and offer my service and offer myself to the Lord. But this point of speaking to the deity and telling them how we feel we need to be connected to them, and maybe just naturally speak to them, is making a deep, deep connection with the deities. And even if you can speak loud to the deities, when nobody else is around you, obviously, yeah. But this is very, very powerful. I have tried sometimes with the deities I was worshipping before to speak loud to them, and they seem to look at me and say, "Wow, you really think we are persons?" And this is actually very, very powerful. We hear about Vamsidas Babaji, who was all the time speaking to his deities, whatever will happen, he will just see them as a person and exchange them like this. 2 years ago, we were in Vrindavan with my spiritual master. We were staying in Govindakund in a small ashram, and Maharaj was chanting a lot, doing deep, deep sadhana. And a group of devotees came to visit him. So he gave them a little speech, and then he told them, "Please speak to the Lord. He is not a dull idol on the altar." He said, "When you go back to Vrindavan, all of you please just go to Radha Shyama Sundar and you speak to them, and you will see miracles will happen. He was really advising them, speak to the deities, reveal your heart to the deities, pray to the deities. And this is something that brings the relationship very, very deep, very, very personal between the Lord and his devotee. The last point I would like to make is bring gifts to the Lord. This is also a very, very good way to see him as a person. And what gift should we bring to the Lord? Something that is very dear to us. Don't offer plastic jewelry to the deities and you wear golden jewelry for yourself. It's not so nice. It is said that Lord Krishna obviously want our love and devotion. That's really what he wants first. But he sees what we are giving, but he sees also what we keep for us. Like, we can be a big businessman and make a lot of profit and come here very piously and put a half a euro in the donation box and seems to be very, very pious. The Lord also see that. So it's good to offer gifts to the Lord, obviously according to our abilities to give. We should not give everything and have to beg for our livelihood. That might not be the ideal, but we need to find a good level that we should give. We should learn to give, to not be too miser on ourselves, and to give to the Lord. Are you still with me? Yeah? I would like to end by telling you a little story. That's a story that happened when Lord Krishna was in this world, on this planet Earth. And he was walking on the street of Mathura, on the Raj path, the big main road of Mathura. And he was walking in the direction of Kamsa, of King Kamsa. And suddenly, in the middle of this road, he saw a very beautiful lady who was hunchback, we say. She had three places she was binded on her body. She was
hunchbacked.
So Lord Krishna came to her, and she had a big trail in her hands, and there was a lot of sandalwood paste, different color, different smells. And Lord Krishna asked her, "Who are you? And for who are those items?" And just before even she had time to answer, Krishna said, "Please give it to me. Please give it to me." And she was a servant of the king. She was a servant of Kamsa. And Krishna was asking her, "Please give me your life." Because to give what was belonging to the king to someone else in front of thousands of people who were all looking at Krishna and at her was meaning you should give me your life. So first Kubja answered his question when he was asking, who are you? And she said, I am Dasi. I am a servant. And she did not mention if she was Kamsa's Dasi or she was her Dasi. She kept it. And then she said, my name is Tridikarma. Tridikarma. Because I am bound in three places in my back. But you are Tribanga. You are also bound in three places. So we can do a good match. That was a subtle hint between. But she said, I'm not crooked by nature. My body is crooked, but I'm not crooked by nature. And then she decided to offer this sandalwood paste to Krishna and Balaram. So she removed the chador on the upper part of Krishna, and from the navel up to the head, with her fingertip, she decorated Lord Krishna. Everywhere, very beautiful. And for Krishna, who had a darkish complexion, she used fair colors. And for Balaram, who was fair complexion, she used dark color, that at the end, when they were totally decorated, that we could confuse each other, because they had changed the colors. When she did the head of Lord Krishna, she took the head of Lord Krishna with her left hand, like this, and then she took a very fine brush to paint beautiful designs in between the eyes, between the mouths, on the cheeks of Lord Krishna. She had so much devotion, she did so much love, that there sometimes Krishna said, stop, that's enough now. And she just said, wait, a little here, a little there. She just could not stop to serve the Lord. So finally Krishna was so happy about her service that he stepped on her toe. Usually we don't like to be stepped on our toes, but when it's the Supreme Personality of Godhead who step on your toes, it's quite fine. And then with the two fingers, he took her neck and he just gave her a little jerk, and she was not bended anymore. She was totally straight. At the end of this pastime, Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj is explaining a very interesting point. He said that we should all learn to do like Kubja. We should all serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead with our own hands. Not that we think, yeah, let me just give donation to the temple and let the pujari do the service. No, we should also learn to do it with our own hands. It's not that we say, okay, my wife, she worships the deities, I'll go to work and I don't do that. No, everyone should learn this art, because this is our training for Nitya Lila. This is our training for the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, we will enact with the Supreme Lord. We will serve Him. We will be there directly with Him. So we need to get a taste, get a feeling of how it will be in the spiritual world. So to develop this personal relationship with the Lord, and for those of you who are second initiated, to come on the altar and to service on the altar is just amazing. So last week, the head pujari said, oh, would you like to come on the altar to do some service? I said, yeah, I prefer prepare lecture and give lecture, and that's more, I can more identify to that. I can come if you really need. If really you don't have anybody, then I will surrender and come. So this morning I was on the altar waking up Jagannath. And after doing that, I went to her and said, can I do it every morning? It's so sweet. It's so beautiful. And you feel the exchange. You feel how the Lord is satisfied that you are there and that you can serve Him directly. So for all of you who have this ability, please take the chance. It's really very, very great chance to really put Krishna in the center of your life and see Him as a person, not just like idol. And for those who don't have this opportunity yet, you can obviously worship any deities in your home. You don't need such a high standard. Or learn to worship the deities by revealing your heart to them, by offering obeisances to them, by singing for them, and then bringing some nice gifts for them.
Hare Krishna. Do you have any questions or any comments?
Maybe a little story. You were saying that the deities are not idols, they are person. So under a little story, I was worshipping Gornitais like before coming to the temple, and then I had them here in the temple, and for some morning I had always the feeling that they asked me, hey, we want to eat khichdi. And now it's my mind, no? Hey, I was just bringing them fruits, no? And every morning, we want khichdi. I said, just give me a break with your khichdi. And it was like 2-3 days like that. And then one time, then I was off, no? Then one Mataji, she came to me, she said, I'm going to the kitchen. I said, what are you going to the kitchen? Yeah, your deities asked me to cook for them. What are you going to cook? She said, they asked me to cook khichdi. she didn't know that I had this story. I just kept it in my head, everything in my mind. So it was
This is something you can ask when you come to the temple and you meet with the devotees. Ask them for those stories. I had also very, very deep story with the deities I was worshipping in the past. But I don't know, I don't want to keep everyone too long into the temple room. It's already 8:30. I can make it short, actually. I was staying in Govindakund, and I was just basically absorbed in chanting the holy name during that time. And every evening I would come out of my room and I would chant under a tree, and then the night would come and I would feel in my heart I should put some light for the deities. But I was not doing it. I was thinking, yeah, they don't stay just in the room, they are wandering around Govardhan Hill and they are doing some pastimes. And sometimes, because the voice was always coming, give us some light. So sometimes I will meditate to bring them a light in the mind, you know. I will meditate, oh, here is a candle for you. But I will not do it really. And one night, I was attacked by a very strong ghost. Really strong. I was beaten up during the night by this ghost, and I just could not believe. I was next to Govardhan. I was in the most holy place. I had 24-hour kirtan just next to my room. I was chanting 64 rounds every day. How can that happen? And every night it was coming stronger and stronger. And I started to make extra worship to my deities. I started try to make some protection around my bed. And at some times I felt I need to leave the place. I will become totally haunted if I stay here. And one evening, the owner of the ashram, Dinabandhu Baba, needed to go to my room to do some repair work. So he came to my room and then he called me. Hey, Gorahari, how you don't put light for your deities? And then I said, oh my God, yeah, I knew it, but I did not do it. So of course, from this evening, I put it to light, and from that evening, no ghost, nothing, everything was totally gone. And I think they were teaching me again: we are persons. Please don't neglect to see us as a person.
So it was really ghosts who came in the night?
Yeah, yeah, it was most probably sent by them, but it was a ghost, definitely. Yeah. Okay, so let's stop here. We have now a wonderful cake distribution, the prasad, the mercy of Lord Jagannath. And please try to think a little bit on this point. How to relay more and more in a personal way with our Lord, huh? With your Lord. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi ki jai, Lord Jagannath Baladev Subhada Devi ki jai.